It's the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Triceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Triceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We're starting the week off with a continuation of a multi-part episode with Brooks Kubik, Building Muscle Mass the Dinosaur Way. And the reason I didn't say a four-part series, because Brooks, welcome to the show, Brooks, first of all.
Hey, thanks, Carl.
This started out as a three-part series. Then we realized we had to add nutrition to it. So then it became a four-part series. Now we are getting inundated, and this is a good thing. Everybody's engaged. They've got lots of really good questions. And so Brooks and I talked about it. Thought, well, maybe we need to do one or two episodes just dedicated to these frequently asked questions before we go on to nutrition. So part four today, unfortunately, is not going to be nutrition. We will do the nutrition portion shortly. But we've got to get to these questions first before we move on to nutrition. Wouldn't you agree with that, Brooks?
Absolutely. And I've done the same thing. I've stopped saying this is, you know, episode number whatever of a three-part series, four-part series, whatever, because it's growing organically. And it's growing as a result of listener demand. And that's pretty cool. That's what you want when you're doing what we're doing.
So think of this show kind of like that toll booth on the Verrazano Bridge that they promised would be gone after the bridge was paid for in the first 10 years, but continues on anyway. We shall continue on until all the questions are answered, and we definitely will do the nutritional part. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Driven Sports. I got quite a few jars of Craze this morning, and I'm proud to say that I use Craze. I'm not afraid of it containing amphetamines, because it doesn't. And I just tried their new Pina Colada Craze. It's amazing. There are a couple bitter guys out there whose supplements don't sell well who have gone after Driven Sports and made it their mission to try to destroy Driven Sports. You know who they are. Matt Cahill has a plethora of lab tests that show that Driven Sports does not contain amphetamines from top-level labs. They have, I use the word they loosely, one lab test from a lab that has a website that's been under development since 2008 and is run by one lone person. So take that for what it's worth. But I go down in the books as being a Craze user and lover because the product is well-made, does not contain amphetamines, and is worthy of your dollars if you're looking for a pre-workout supplement that doesn't focus on caffeine, but instead focuses on making your brain sharper to get through the workout. So there you go. Okay, after that pimp job, Jim DeSantis, who has written questions to us before about the series, says, thanks for reading my question on your last broadcast. I have another one. And that's what happens, isn't it?
Yep, one question always leads to another.
Yeah, I've been working out for many years. I'm 58 years old, training for the pump, doing the high reps, and really getting nowhere in the term of size and strength, but I still train heavy. Is this the same question we read last time? No.
No, okay. This is a new question. I'm still training anyway.
Yeah, but still training anyway because I feel good when I train and it keeps me fit. That's right. So now I'm trying to do it the dino way because you've inspired me to believe that I can still actually gain some strength and mass. This is my first week of it. I'm doing a 5x5 with two working sets on the 4 days per week workout that you suggested. The thing is, when I'm done with my workout, I just don't feel like I've done enough. The new workouts are very short compared to what I'm used to doing. I feel like I should be doing more, maybe because I'm not feeling that same quote-unquote pump. I guess my question is, should I do more or stick with the program exactly the way you detailed it? Thanks so much, and sorry if my question is too long. Feel free to edit it. Jim, your question is succinct compared to some of the other questions that take up three pages. So, brother, that's a good one. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is a question that we get all the time, and we wanted to lead off with it because it comes from, in one way, shape, or form, we get this from a whole lot of people. They've been training for a long time. They've been doing higher reps. They've been following a traditional train for the pump program, and they haven't gotten much in the way of results. So then they try what we're talking about, which is focused, short, hard, heavy, get into the gym, get it done, get out of the gym programs. And they feel like it's different, and they feel like it's working them in a totally different way, and they think, wow, this is pretty interesting. I feel pretty good. I might really start building some strength and size on this. And then they say, but you know what? I just feel like I'm not doing enough. Do I need to do more? Okay, and that's where so many people make a fatal mistake. They stop doing that short, abbreviated, focused, concentrated workout. And they go back to their, well, I need to do some of this, and I need to do some of that, and I'll throw in some of these, and I'll do some of those. And, hey, I heard that that was a good exercise, so I ought to do that. And I read on an internet forum that you ought to do this and that and that, and so I'll do 5 sets of each of those. And I think I probably need to do some 10 by 10 and 20 by 20 and 50 by 50. And, you know, and you end up
back where you were when you decided
exactly
to switch to the 5 by 5.
You know, and I mean, it absolutely, it's amazing how many times I get an email, tried your workout, feel great, not sure if I should change. And the answer is, of course you do not change.
Well, wait. Let's dig into this, because you know that I've switched up to a 5x5 myself as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about this a little bit, because this is really an important discussion. So not only when you switch up to the 5x5, you may end up using weight that you're used to doing 8 reps with, but now you're just doing 5 with it. And you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute. Like, I'm doing less. How is this going to be effective? You have to give it, and Brooks, I am by no means an authority on this, so stop me if I go the wrong way.
Okay.
You got to give this 5x5 program a good month. And here's what I mean by that. Starting to do a 5-rep template, over the course of a month, you will start to instinctively develop more torque in those 5 reps. Right now, you're holding back a little bit because you're used to doing 8 reps, 10 reps, 12 reps, and you're what they call, not metering yourself, but judging yourself. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm used to doing more. I'm not doing enough now. That's okay. Stick with it. As time goes on and you increase the weight and the intensity of those 5 perfectly executed reps exceeds the intensity of the sloppy 8 to 10 reps you were doing before, that's when the magic will start to occur. Am I right or wrong about this?
You're absolutely right. And here's the thing about the 5 reps in transitioning from higher reps or medium-high reps to 5s. If I wanted to, I could give you a program where you go out 100% maximum weight that you can do for 5 reps on every exercise you do and drive yourself into the ground on your first 5x5 workout. We could do that. But you know what? That would be stupid. And it would be stupid because if you've been training higher reps, you need to condition your body. You need to strengthen the tendons, the ligaments, the muscle fibers. You need to learn the movements. You need to make sure you're doing everything exactly right with a heavier weight than you used before. And you need to take some time to build the base to go really, really hard and heavy.
Bingo.
Okay? So your 5x5 workouts are not going to feel difficult at first. They're not going to feel demanding or challenging. And you're going to think, well, boy, am I getting enough of a workout. But here's the interesting thing. You'll feel better because instead of doing what amounts to overtraining on your previous program, you're doing the right amount of exercise. And that's why people feel good when they make the change from a high rep pumping program to a 5x5. But remember, it's something new, it's something different, it's more athletic, it's more strenuous, it's more challenging.
And it will become more athletic and more strenuous as well as you stick to it and you start to test your new limits as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the point is, because it's not something that you've been doing, you need to work up to it, you need to build up the weights, and that's why you start light and you work up, you take the break-in period, and you build up, and so what seems like a very easy workout today is going to be a much harder workout 4, 5, 6 weeks from now. And 12 weeks from now, it's going to be an incredibly hard workout. And if you were to stick to it longer than that, your short, sweet little 5x5 program would become something so demanding and so strenuous that if you tried to do it right now without a break-in period, you wouldn't be able to. And when you're doing it, say, 6 months from now in the gym, other people are going to watch you, and they're going to say, man, I don't want to do what you're doing. That's too hard.
Right. Think about this for a second. Think about a guy who's trained to be a distance runner. He runs the 2 mile, the 3 mile, the 5 mile, the 8 mile, and he does really well at it. And why? Because he rates himself, okay? Now, all of a sudden, you say to this guy, I want you to start sprinting. Do you think that after training for years as a distance runner that he could hit the track immediately and give you his best all-out sprint? No. And in fact, it would take months and maybe even years for that person to make the centrally developed nervous system adapt to the new demands, the new musculature adapt to the new demands in order for him to even see what his potential sprint is like. And those initial weeks when he's sprinting, he's not going to go all out. He's automatically going to rate himself because this is so new. He doesn't understand what his limits are. It takes time. Look at it that way. If you're going into the gym and you're doing this one workout 4 days a week and you're going, I'm just not working hard enough, just wait. Just wait. Give it a month. When you start to understand your real potential and you start going up in the weight, and now you start giving it everything you have for those 5 reps, and you're not rating yourself anymore, and you're prepared for the weight because you know you've got more juice left after that third set, that fourth set, and you stop rating yourself. Just wait. It's going to become very demanding. Very demanding. I think we answered Jim's question, don't you think?
I think so.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we've got lots of questions, intelligent questions. We're going to cover them all, and hopefully these are questions that are on your mind as well. Don't forget to visit BrooksCubic, KUBIK.com, to learn more about the Dinosaur Protocol and lots of great fictional books about physical culture you cannot find anywhere else. No one, I repeat, no one on the planet does what Brooks Cubic does when it comes to writing fiction about physical culture. Free your brain, free your mind, read one. You'll enjoy it. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now. You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Those of you in the research area should know that Superior Hardcore Peptides has a buy one, get one free on all their GHRPs, GHRP2, GHRP6. Ridiculously cheap price of $23.99 for 5 milligrams. Now get two of those vials for $23.99. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Superior Hardcore Peptides banner ad today. Okay. Lee Hayward says, and this is kind of in the same vein of what we just talked about, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When training squats, is training the squat heavy once a week enough to improve when you're at the beginner intermediate stage? I almost want to answer that right there, but I currently squat 275 for two sets of five once a week. Training the deadlift heavy the other day. Should I be squatting heavy two times a week until I reach over 300 pounds, then drop down to squatting one time a week when weight is really heavy? Would love to have my question read on the air. Well, there you go. We did that one. Cheers to Lee Hayward in England, by the way, for listening to the show.
Well, Carl, you were right. The question kind of breaks down and demands an answer at the very beginning. Is training the squat heavy once a week enough to improve when you're at the beginner stage? Well, here's the answer. A beginner should do the squat or every other exercise three times a week at the beginner stage. And the reason is you need those three times a week total body workouts to learn the exercises, to learn the movements, to develop the coordination, the mobility, the movement pattern. And face it, you're a beginner, so you're not going to be using super heavy weights and you're not going to be doing so much that three total body workouts is too much for your recovery system.
Right, because you haven't reached that point where you can really fire everything to its maximum potential yet.
Absolutely. So training for beginners, you know, is a different animal, and that's something that, you know, we can cover in another show sometime. If you're a beginner and you're listening to that, don't usually you know, pitch books or products, but I will tell you, I've got a book out there, Chalk and Sweat, which is a book about workouts, and it starts out with 10 progressively more advanced workouts for beginners. So if that's you, you know, that would be the correct resource to take a look at. Now, moving on to the next level of the question, what happens as you get stronger? And Lee was saying that he squats 275 pounds for two sets of five, does it once a week, and he wants to know if he should stay at that until he goes over 300 pounds or whether he should
double up twice a week,
you know, do three times a week or do once a week or whatever. So here's the answer for Lee. You're already making good progress and you're doing really well. I mean, you know, we hear a lot about 800-pound squats, 900-pound squats, 1,000-pound squats, 1,500-pound, 5,500 pounds, whatever. And there's a lot of nonsense out there about what is or is not a heavy squat. And, you know, Lee, if you are anywhere in the 170 to 200-pound range and you're doing good, perfect form squats with 275 for two sets of five, you're doing pretty good. You know, in my book, you're intermediate, possibly even advanced, and you're doing very well. Keep on doing what you are doing as long as it's working.
Right.
And as long as you're adding weight to the bar on a regular, progressive basis, stick at what you're doing. When you get to the point where you're not adding weight to the bar, that's when you cut back from two times a week to once a week.
Because you need more recovery, because
yeah,
you're getting stronger.
Exactly. Or what you do is you do one heavy day and you train the squat another day a week, but you do a lighter workout. So those are ways, those are tricks to keep the progression going. But for right now, you're doing great. Keep at it. You're probably going to be able to push into the 300, 315, 325 range doing what you're doing. And then you may need to start slowing things down to get up to that 350 for five.
And keep in mind, beginners and intermediates still see fantastic results from workouts, regardless of what they're doing. So chances are you'll continue to progress. You don't really start to have to fine-tune things until you get to that point. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Until you get to that point where you're so strong now that just adding 5 pounds to the bar every so often becomes a stretch because you are getting close to your maximum human potential.
Yeah, it works really well up until certain numbers. A whole lot of programs work and get you to the point where you can squat your own body weight. From there, you have to train smarter to get to where you can squat 50 pounds over your body weight or 100 pounds over your body weight. And getting up into the, 200 pounds over body weight requires different efforts. So, you know, all these things require you to change what you're doing and train both harder, heavier, and smarter. And of all of those, I think the train smarter component is the most important. Carl, I liked your comment before we went on break. Free your brain made me think, free your brain, build your body.
Yeah.
What a lot of people need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. The next question comes from Glenn Moore. Man, I'm going to have to – oh, no, this isn't – a lot of this looks like it might be your answer, actually.
Yeah.
I asked a question the other day about bulging abs. Is it possible to work too heavy on your abs that they protrude more than desirable? Should I do light abs with a lot of reps or drop abs altogether because I squat a lot? Thank you for your time. I'll be listening to the radio show.
Okay. So Glenn had written another question that gave me a little bit more background, and he's currently having a debate with a very significant person in his life who jokingly refers to him as fat. And he says it's not fat, it's muscle. It's bulging abs because I have really thick abdominal development. And he asked me to weigh in on that, and I refused to do so because I don't get involved in that kind of...
In domestic dispute.
Domestic dispute, exactly. But, no, certainly if you train your abs with heavy weights, you're going to develop very thick musculature. But if the abs are protruding to the point where people are saying, you know, hey, buddy, I think you need to lose a little weight, might want to listen to them. You know, the bulging abs or the protruding abs, usually it's a relatively new phenomenon in the world, and, we really didn't see it until the 70s or 80s. Doesn't usually happen with heavy training, and it may be something we need to reevaluate and, you know, take a little bit of excess weight off of the waist. Now, do you do that by doing high reps with the abs? No, not at all. You train the abs the way you train any other part of the body. You train the abs for strength, and you work with relatively low reps, 8 to 12, 20 at most. You do relatively heavy weights, or you do hard exercises like, you know, hanging knees to chest, hanging leg raises, planks, side planks,
My favorite, and I gotta jump in here for a second.
Yeah.
A lot of ab work actually builds the abs in a convex nature. In other words, a lot of crunches. A crunch will give you a half of a number 8 in your abs. The two lower muscles and the two upper muscles will be separated by a meridian where you are actually sinking in, kind of like the top of the letter M.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the weighted, unless you're doing slow controlled hanging leg raises, a lot of people bounce and they don't really activate the muscles the way they should. With that being said, two things in my humble opinion activate the ab muscles the best. The inchworm with one of those little ab wheels where you are literally, the muscles of the stomach are designed to keep the spine from hyperextending. They're not designed to pull you forward like in a crunch. They're designed to keep you from folding in half backwards. And so if you train them doing things like planks, as Brooks just said, or inchworms with a wheel where you are extending the upper torso and the abs are working against the spine overextending and then bringing it back. But there's nothing better, in my humble opinion, than getting inverted to train your abs. Get inverted. You don't have to do a crunch. Just tighten up the abs to where you're starting to lift your body a little bit and hold it like that. This creates a flat plane of the abs as opposed to this bubble that a lot of the crunching movements produce, especially if you're using heavy weight. That's just my two cc's.
Yeah, and whatever you do for the abs, you definitely want to include the more extended movements like the planks, side planks, or, you know, as you said, the inchworm.
Yes.
Whatever you call it,
right?
But you should end up with developed musculature of the abdominal of the entire midsection, really. Developed musculature, not a wasp waist.
There you go.
Not the Beach Boy look, you know, not the movie star, you know, ripped to shreds, but there's no strength there. You're looking for a functional athletic development, and when you get that, that'll both look good and be functional, and that's what you should be training for. And, if you have anything else going, it's probably a dietary issue. But the one thing, just to drop back, do you do high reps for the abs? No, don't do them. High reps for the abs is one of, you know, the oldest and most enduring myths in the strength training field. So let's just drop that one right now.
Yeah.
And to the other question, do you drop them all together because you squat a lot? No, do them, but recognize that because you're doing squats and deadlifts and other heavy exercises, you don't need to do a lot of them. So what's the next question?
Well, the next question is we have to take a break.
So that sounds good,
too. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got a question from, let me see, hold on, Lawrence Otero.
Okay.
You're going to want to stay tuned for this one. This is probably on a lot of people's minds. In the meantime, during the commercial break, listen to the commercials, but go to BrooksCubic, KUBIK.com, and check out what's happening on the Dinosaur Training Blog. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Ich
Can Altrient supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrient C and Altrient ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrient C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrient ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrient cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustane RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultra Male RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order. Power Block Dumb. Dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to superhumanradio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Don't forget, tomorrow, after the Blueprint Power Hour, Muscle Saves Lives series, we talk to Matt Capitelli, beat brain cancer, and also won the WWE Tough Enough 3 competition. A huge fan of physical culture. He'll explain how physical culture actually got him through some of the most trying times of his life. You don't want to miss that. Okay, we're talking with Brooks Kubik. We're answering your questions. This is part four of the Building Muscle Mass, the Dinosaur Way series. This one comes from Larry Otero. He says, frequency of light breathing pullovers, Brooks. How many times should light breathing pullovers be done? I know in the 20 breathing squat program that you are supposed to do them immediately after squatting while still breathing hard. Should a person do them with other massive exercises as well, such as deadlifts or bench presses? If so, is there such a thing as doing too many 20-rep breathing pullovers per week? Your buddy from SFNM, Larry, thanks. Wait a minute. Larry Otero, Assistant Attorney General's Office. Holy mackerel. This dude is well decorated. Okay. So, what do you think? Can you do too many breathing movements? I mean, they tax the body dramatically.
Well, on the program that we're doing 5x5. We're not doing the 20-rep breathing squat program. And, you know, if you want to do pullovers after your squats and after your deadlifts, in particular after the working sets, you know, feel free. But you don't have to do them. They're not a critical part of the program as they are in the traditional 20-rep breathing squat program. You know, so Larry, if you enjoy doing pullovers and, you know, it's a good way to get your breathing back to normal after a heavy set, feel free to do them. You know, you're not going to be doing that many working sets per week anyway. So if you do 3 working sets of squats and 3 working sets of deadlifts, you know, maybe 3 working sets of bent over rowing or standing press or clean and press or whatever, it still doesn't add up to a whole lot of sets of light breathing pullovers. So feel free to do them pretty much after every heavy exercise if you want. Don't have to, but if you want to, feel free. And having said that, let me just note very quickly for anyone listening, when we're talking about light breathing pullovers, we're talking about a stiff arm or straight arm pullover with a very, very light weight. We're talking about 10 or 15 pound dumbbells, 25 pound barbell, basically
cambered,
an exercise.
Cambered bar as well or a straight bar?
It doesn't really matter because it's such a lightweight. It is purely to have something in your hand to help stretch the rib cage.
Bingo. I was going to say, this is not a strength movement. This is a rib cage expanding movement, right?
Absolutely. You could do it with a broom or a broomstick and get almost the same level of results. And I want to caution the readers, do not try to do a heavy weight in a stiff arm or even a bent arm pullover. That's a great way to mess up your shoulders for life. And, you know, while we're at it, I will just note, I'm 56. I've had shoulder problems since I was 17. The shoulder problems were caused by the Nautilus pullover torso machine.
Yeah.
A diabolical device.
Yeah.
Don't do pullovers with a heavy weight. You don't need them. Train your lats, you know, with rowing exercises. Much, much safer.
But now let's mention something here.
Mm-hmm.
As you age, your rib cage becomes restricted. The intercostals, the muscle and the tissue in between the ribs starts to, like everything else in your body, dry out, and it's not as flexible. This is a really important movement, in my humble opinion, for anybody over 40 years old. You should be focusing at least once a week on a rib cage expanding movement like this. Because I'll tell you something else that happens when the rib cage starts to become rigid. Organ crowding. You've got the lungs, you've got the heart in there. People start to develop pains sometimes, phantom pains. They go to the doctor, go, gee, doc, I don't know what it is. Well, sometimes it's just because the rib cage starts to shrink. When you look at elderly people, you see their body shrink, the rib cage shrinks, and it starts to compress organs and tissue beneath it. So this is one of those things that's not only important for your strength program, but for the anti-aging prescription as well, in my humble opinion. And Brooks, you can speak to that if you want to.
No, that's a real good point. I know that Jim Schmitz, weightlifting coach, Olympic weightlifting coach, very well-known weightlifting coach, likes doing pullovers, I think probably for the same reason, although I've never heard him articulate it as such, but I know that he enjoys pullovers because of the stretch and the flexibility that it gives. But remember, again, we're talking about a very light exercise that is essentially a stretching movement. It's not a strength builder, and you don't do it with heavy weights, and you should not do it with heavy weights.
You're not going to be able to put your shoulders at risk.
But
not even that. If you're doing this movement as a stretching movement, as it's designed to be, you will not be able to breathe deeply and stretch if the weight you're using is an 80-pound dumbbell or a 115-pound cambered bar, because you're going to actually have the opposite effect. Your rib cage is going to have to become rigid. You can lock the shoulders and the shoulder girdle in place. So it's going to have the exact opposite effect if you go too heavy. The idea behind this is almost like a, Tai Chi movement. You want to be able to let the arms go all the way back and breathe deeply. You can't do that if you're trying to restrain a heavy weight.
Yeah, that, agree 110%.
Okay, next question comes from Matt Beatty.
This is a good one.
After completing the 6 months of training, would it be an inappropriate time to start some power rack training and add some partials and odd objects lifts like sandbags, kegs, and of course, let's not forget the Atlas Stone. What do you think?
Yeah, and the question, it almost sounded like you said, would it be an inappropriate time?
And I did. I said, would it be an appropriate time is what I should have said.
Yeah, in other words, would it be the right time to do it? And the answer is absolutely, definitely, 100%. And that's a real good example of someone who's thinking about these things and is saying, okay, I'm going to train for a while on this six-month bulk and power program, the strength and muscle building program, and I'm going to use barbells as my primary tool, and I'm going to focus on squats and presses and deadlifts and the other exercises that are in the program, and I'm going to work on those, and I'm not going to add in all this other stuff that I want to do because I know the time is not yet right. So I'm going to focus on the barbell work, and then when I'm a whole lot bigger and stronger, I'm going to gradually work in a progressive manner some heavy partials in the power rack, some odd object lifting, but I'm going to do it 6 or 8 months down the road. That's exactly the way to do it. That's a very logical, progressive way of systematically working in a whole lot of really good things, but not trying to do it all at once. So that was a real good question. I'm glad Matt asked that.
Yeah, and obviously if you're looking to build strength, this is also still in that vein of building strength.
Yeah.
Now, I want to mention something before we go into our next break, and I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and probably should mention this at the beginning of every show. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because we got a couple questions from people that have some medical implications in it, right? It is assumed that if you are endeavoring this type of heavy resistance training, that A, you have a clean bill of health, you have no known underlying issues with your heart or anything else in your body for that matter, and that this under this assumption, you are moving forward. If you do not know these questions, then you need to go to your doctor and get a checkup and say, look, I'm going to be training very hard, and I am X years old, and I just want to make sure that I don't have something in the background that I don't know about that's waiting to happen, and let him give you the green light to go ahead and train. We cannot tell you on this show that this style of training is going to be healthy for you unless you are already healthy, and that's only for you to know. So there are a couple questions we got that I don't know that we're comfortable answering, because they have more to do with medical implications of this type of training. And on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we've got more questions. We're going to pull them together during the break here. And I promise lots of good content still coming your way. Stay tuned. You're listening to Brooks Cubic on Superhuman Radio. We're talking about building, you ready for this? Muscle mass the dinosaur way, 20 pounds of muscle in 6 months. Without drugs. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping.
shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine. Medicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold processed through the patented chill right process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Everybody's moving. Everybody's grooving, baby. Everybody's moving. Everybody's
welcome back. Okay. The next bunch of questions... you may not hear your name preceding one of these questions, but it's because we've received multiple examples of the same question. So this is kind of like the general pool of questions. We've got 12 general questions here that everybody has sent in their personal variation of it. So I apologize if you don't hear your name on the show with these here. The first one is the shortest and really the most prepondering question that we get, and that is, will this really work?
And the answer is very simple. No, this is a total scam. There's absolutely nothing in it that will work, and Carl and I have spent about, what now, 6 hours now on the radio throwing out stuff that we don't believe in, that we think is absolutely ridiculous, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, right. So, will it work? You're darn right it will work. And the reason that I know that it will work is that nothing that I've been sharing, nothing that Carl's been giving you, is new.
Right.
It's not untested. These are the ways that people have been building strength and muscle for at least the last 100 years. It is documented over and over with success stories. 100 years of them. You too can join that long line of success stories. But to get there, instead of asking, will it work, you have to try it. And that's the way that you will prove to yourself that it does work. Now, I get so many, you know, so many people never start because they get hung up on the will it work. and they sit there and they go to all the internet forums and they ask the question under 20 different pseudonames. Each internet forum, of course, requires a different pseudoname and a different avatar. They ask the question everywhere, will it work? And they get all these answers from people who also have pseudonames and avatars. And at the end of the day, they're so confused, they don't even try. And that's a shame. And gosh, that's a problem. So in answer to the question, will it work? You're darn right it will work. Do it, try it, apply yourself, and prove it.
And like you said, this is nothing new. The 5x5 program has been building massive strength and massive muscle for probably 100 years now. This is nothing new. And there's variations of it. There's the 5x5, the 6x6, the 8x8. You know, but the reality is the 5x5 is the one that started it all. And then people, well let's take one more rep and one more set, and that'll be our approach to it. This approach, when you think about it, is very, very simple. It allows the central and peripheral nervous system to become accustomed to a set of reps that, with great strength, can be duplicated with exacting form, but do not take the trainee to such a level of exhaustion that they can't perform it again. And who said three reps was the magic number? I mean, three sets. Who said four? Five. Maybe after 6 months of this, you go to a 5x7 where you do seven sets of five reps. The bottom line is this. When you execute these lower reps, not two, three, and four, which you can become, you end up going so heavy you can hurt yourself. But five seems to be the magic number that has worked for so many people for so many years. You become precise at developing the torque to do these five reps for five sets, and you gradually increase the weight, which adds to the progressive overload, but you're not destroying your body. Like Lee Haney used to say, the goal is to stimulate, not annihilate. And this seems to be one that has lasted the test of time.
That's absolutely true. I mean, you know, there are books, articles. I can like literally see the page, the text in my mind's eye going back into the 20s and 30s talking about 5x5.
Sure.
And, you know, the reason that it's a good system and the reason that applying it in the way that we're talking about, which is a limited exercise program where you focus on the most important body developers, the reason that you do that is because you only have a limited amount of training time. You only have a limited amount of recovery ability. And like it or not, you only have a limited amount of ability to really focus and put forth concentrated effort in any one workout. And after a certain period of time, 45 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever, you know, you're done for the day. And the 5x5 system with limited exercises, the type of workouts that we're talking about, takes all that into account. It lets you train really hard, it lets you train progressively, but it doesn't beat you up so bad that you can't recover from your workouts. It has stood the test of time, and that's why it works. And the reason people have a question about does it work is it works so well that in order to sell something new, people have to come up with something new that usually doesn't work nearly as well.
Because people expect things to be more complex. It's got to be more complicated. And here's the analogy. While you were talking, you know what the analogy is that I just thought of?
What's that?
The 5x5 program is to strength and muscle building what high-intensity sprints is to running. Short, concentrated bursts of excessive strength for a short period of time builds muscle. The same way sprinters have huge glutes, hamstrings, and quads, and distance runners are sinewy looking and starving looking. This is like sprinting for the body. But when you first start sprinting, and I come back to that, because you can never sprinted before in your life, get on the track and blast off. You pull things, you hurt things. That is what the first month of this program is. Trust it. It will work. It will end up becoming a short session, But you will push your body in that short session to points that you can't do when you're doing German volume training for, you know, an hour and a half. Just can't do it because you got to save something for the rest of the workout.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy.
All right, we have to take a quick commercial break. We have more, and then when we come back, we have a couple long segments. When we come back, the question has come back again. These workouts are very short. Can I add other exercises? We'll talk about that when we come back with Brooks Kubik. If you want to add other exercises, maybe Brooks has some answers. But do you really need to after this discussion? I think it's clear. Start with this. And don't worry about other exercises. But we'll let Brooks weigh in on that because he's the expert here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use AuraMD. AuraMD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of AuraMD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the AuraMD banner. I won't ever use anything else but AuraMD, and neither should you.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. Okay. The workouts are very short. Can I add exercises? Do you think that's a good idea, Brooks, especially right from the get-go?
Really prefer that people keep everything that they're doing to exactly what we've described. And the reason is we want you to focus on quality training, quality workouts, limited number of exercises, limited sets and reps, but you really concentrate, you really focus, and you learn how to train and how to get a really good workout with the bare minimum amount of training. That's part of the progression. You absolutely do not need more exercises. In fact, more exercises are basically going to water down or dilute the effort. It's like wearing a wristwatch. You know, Bradley J. Steiner used this example. He said, you know, you've got these movie stars and celebrities who have these big, expensive, gold-plated wristwatches. And everyone says, wow, I wish I had a watch like that. But what if you had a celebrity that had two watches, or three, or four, or five on each arm? You know, at some point, it becomes ridiculous because it's too much. What you need to do when you train is focus on the most important things, do them. Then what you do is you focus on rest and recuperation and doing more of the most important things the next time you train. So for the time being, no more exercises, just what we're talking about.
Okay. You keep talking about break-in periods. Do I really need a break-in period?
Yes. And again, the reason is if you've not been doing this kind of training, you've been doing something completely different. You might as well go out and, you know, play tennis or, and there's nothing wrong with tennis, but you might as well play tennis or racquetball or badminton or whatever and then go into the gym and say, hey, I'm going to do heavy 5x5 training. It doesn't work that way. The other activities keep you in great shape, but they don't build the foundation that you need for heavy strength training. And neither does the high rep pumping workouts that you may have been doing. One reason is because the pumping workouts typically don't do very much, if anything, for your lower back, your hips, the deep muscles of the midsection and the thighs. You know, they tend to stress the showy muscles, you know, the ones that you see in the mirror when you look at yourself training in front of a mirror. But they don't hit the really deep-rooted back and hip and thigh muscles. And those are what you're going to be stressing when you do the deadlifts and the squats that we have in our program. So you need a break-in program or a break-in period. And frankly, don't rush it. Now, Rome was not built in a day. If you look at, for example, weightlifting programs, Olympic weightlifting programs is developed in Russia, where they take a very young athlete, maybe as young as 12 or 13 or 14 years old, and the idea is building that person up into an Olympic champion by the time they're 18 or 20. The first couple of years are completely foundational training, gradually developing, strengthening the body, the muscles, the tendons, the ligaments, the bones, building up the work capacity, building up the technique, the skill, the focus, the concentration, and gradually working up to the really heavy training that comes later. But as I said, it's a break-in period that may last for a couple of years. So when Carl and I are talking about, you know, take a month for a break-in period.
Short.
That's short. It's a bare minimum.
And see, and you know what this comes from, Brooks, and I've said this before. Mm-hmm. People think that because they can lift a weight, that qualifies them to be a weightlifter. You know, nothing more insulting to an Olympic weightlifter than to think because you can execute what looks like a good clean and press or snatch, that you're actually doing the same thing that he or she are doing, that they've taken years to develop the skill set and the form to do. And just because you can get a weight from the ground to your shoulders doesn't mean you're doing the same thing as one of them. And we really need to, and this is an important point, and this is, goes even for me, we need to have a little bit more respect and reverence for what it is that we do. And start paying attention to the technicality of it. The
technical difficulty.
Yeah, become technicians at this, because this isn't just about big meatheads pushing weight around. This is just like an Olympic athlete who executes their discipline of sport. You, just because you can run doesn't mean that you should be allowed to get on that track and run against them.
Well, that's a very good point. And another factor that comes in here that people ignore because you can't see it. A really, really strong Olympic weightlifter, a really, really strong powerlifter, anyone who has trained for real strength has spent a long time developing the strength of the tendons and the ligaments. If you're doing a lighter weight pumping routine, you're working your muscles because you're pumping blood into them and through them. You know, and yes, you're training your muscles. Not training them as hard as the 5x5, in my opinion, but you're training them. But you're doing very, very little, virtually nothing, for the tendons and ligaments, because they require a higher load in order to respond. And similarly, you're not developing the bone density that you develop from heavier loads. So what happens if you suddenly try to break, you know, to jump into a heavy 5x5 program or any other heavy program? If you do that without the break-in period, your muscles may or may not be able to handle it, but your tendons and ligaments and probably even your bone structure is not ready for it. And so you're setting yourself up for failure, and you're probably setting yourself up for an injury. And actually, I have received letters from people who said, I hurt myself, not doing the program that you were doing, but I hurt myself trying my max, and now I'm trying to recover from that, and then they go on to ask the question about, you know, how do I adjust my program and so on. Those were sort of the medical issues that we said we're not going to get into, because these are people who are actually talking to a doctor. Again, they did not hurt themselves on the 5x5 program. They didn't hurt themselves doing what we're talking about. They hurt themselves, in my opinion, because instead of that break-in process that we're talking about, they went to the gym and said, I'm going to see how much I can lift today, which is a recipe for disaster, because they didn't have the break-in period, the building-up period, the training period that allows you to test your strength effectively and safely. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about using your head and in a conscious, deliberate, progressive manner, taking your body and rebuilding it to the point where you can handle these workouts and handle them safely and effectively. And that, as Carl said, requires time, probably a couple of months, which
is not a long time.
You should look at that as a very, very short period, particularly when we're talking about changing from a training program that's not doing a whole lot for your tendons, your ligaments, your internal organs, your bones, to something that is making you strong and powerful inside and out, which has incredible benefits for your entire life and health for the rest of your life. Carl, what's your line?
Muscle is metabolic currency?
Muscle is metabolic currency. And
so make a deposit today.
Oh, live longer, live stronger. Yeah, live stronger, live longer.
Well, and you know what I was thinking about this morning? I mean, I was in there training today.
Mm-hmm.
I deadlifted today. My shins are so bloody. I'm so proud. But I was deadlifting today, and my friend Tony Vannetti came over to me and said, dude, you know, you're getting so strong. I says, that's right. I says, I'm getting younger. I says, with every rep, I get younger. Because in my humble opinion, we attribute strength to youth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I continue to get stronger into my 60s, if I can lift even a half pound more in a given movement when I turn 60 than I did when I was 55, then in my opinion, I'm younger.
Mm-hmm.
So stronger is younger.
Stronger is younger.
Live stronger, live longer.
And to get stronger, I keep going back to train progressively. And that means if you need to start with a break-in period, if you need to start with light, easy workouts, you do it. It's part of the process.
And you've always said train intelligently at any age, and this is an intelligent program, the 5x5, because it's withstood the test of time. Okay, so somebody comes up and says, well, do I need to cycle my workouts? You do this for 6 months. What you do after 6 months, you could think about then. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, what we're doing is we're talking about, in most cases, someone who's not done this before, and so in many ways, you're a beginner for the 5x5 program, And you don't need to worry as much about cycling when you're a beginner or an intermediate. As you get stronger, then you do need to cycle your intensity, you need to cycle your volume, you know, and that's easy to do as you get old, as you get stronger. Cycling is also very important for older trainees, and the reason is you have much more limited recovery ability. You just don't bounce back as well from a hard workout at age 50 or 55 as you do, which I can speak to because I'm 56, as you do when you're younger. And I'm sure that when I'm 60, 65, 70 and training, I'll find that it's even harder to bounce back from workouts. That doesn't mean you stop training. It doesn't mean you need to train, you know, with light pumping methods. What it does mean is you need to train smarter. And the smarter function, as you get older, the smarter becomes cycle your intensity, cycle your volume, work up, step back, take it easy, work up, step back, take it easy. Very sensible, common sense approach to training. So, Carl, do you need to take a break?
Yeah, you're right on the money. You're right on the money. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right on the money.
The next question is one I get all the time, and I want to make sure we have time for it.
Yeah, we have quite a few good questions. Stay tuned. You're listening to Building Muscle Mass, The Dinosaur Way, Part 4. How to add 20 pounds of muscle to your carcass in 6 months. And guess what? You just have to follow a very, very simple program. So simple that people want to complicate it. You don't have to complicate it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Diesen großen Schlauch. Sie waren ein Feuer
löschen. Und darum lauern sie. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometime pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. New from Rob Regish. Purchase the Blueprint 3.0 today and lock in your free 3-month subscription to the Blueprint Bulletin. Find out what many in the BP Army already know. This is the best investment they've ever made. Includes the free Superhuman University, add 1 inch to your upper arms course, and 3 months of Blueprint Bulletin secrets to up your game. Click the Blueprint banner ad today or go to bodybuildingsupplements.com and purchase your ticket to Gainesville in the fast lane. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
look the same, but we are very far apart. There's bullet holes where my compassion used to be, and there is violence in my heart.
There is violence in my heart. Welcome back. Okay, so Brooks, can I combine the 20-rep breathing squat program with the 5x5 workout? That seems to be an underlying theme. Why do people want to do the 20-rep breathing squat program when they're doing the 5x5?
Well, you ask it with a little bit of incredulity in your voice.
Well, because we're talking about the 5x5. It's a totally different program. They can shift to that later on, I would think. But
Absolutely. And to answer your question, why do people keep asking about that? I think the reason is that a lot of people, when they talk about a weight gaining, a muscle building, or a bulking up program, they're mesmerized by the 20-rep breathing squat program, sometimes called super squats, after the book of the same name by Randy Strawson. And they think that that's the only way to gain significant amounts of muscle mass. So then they want to know, can I do 20 rep squats and do 5x5 and everything else? And the answer is, yeah, you can do that, but I think it's actually better to do the 20 rep squat program another time.
Right.
In another training cycle.
Right, right.
And there's two reasons for that. One's physiological and one is psychological. The physiological part is the 20-rep breathing squat program places certain metabolic demands on the body. And you really need, when you do that, you do the 20-rep breathing squats, you do a couple of other upper body exercises. Typically, it's bench press and barbell bent over rowing, and that's it. And you don't work balls to the wall, if I can say that on radio.
Yeah, because you got to rate yourself for this one. This is what we talk about with the rating thing. And it's like you got to keep some gas in the tank to do the whole 20 rep set, and then to do whatever you have to do after it.
Yeah, and you really put all of your effort into the 20 rep squats, and there's not much left over for anything else. And that means you can't go really hard and heavy, and your form is going to deteriorate on the other exercises. So, from a physiological point of view, it's very hard to combine them. It's sort of like trying to combine sprint training with middle distance training.
I was thinking to myself, imagine somebody who's getting ready for the Olympics. They want to run the 300 yard, but
yeah,
they also want to do the 40 meter. It's two totally different types of training styles.
Yeah, that's the point.
You're not going to be able to do either of them well.
No. And so, from a physiological point of view, very difficult. Now, from a psychological point of view, you're talking about two different psychological approaches. The 20 rep breathing squat, you've got to just focus on that, and nothing else matters. It's working that into the ground. The 5x5 program, you know, you're training hard on your squats, your deadlifts, bent over rowing, pull downs or chins, whatever you're doing for the upper back, your pressing exercises, be they the standing press, push press, incline press, bench press, whatever. You know, we've talked about that in other episodes in this series. And you need to look at it as you're moving up on all of those. They're all very important movements, and it's slow, steady progression, and it's a different mindset. So I don't like to combine the two. I like to do a 5x5 program, and later, if you want to do 20 rep breathing squats as a program, do it. And having said that, I'm going to note one other thing. The 20 rep breathing squat program for the big weight gains, you know, everybody wants 20 pounds of muscle in 6 weeks, or, you know, 30 pounds of muscle in 30 days, or, you know, whatever. That is a training program that works for a young, skinny beginner.
Right.
And if you are already, you know, if you've been training for 30 or 40 years and you're pretty thickly, heavily developed, You're very strong for your size. You've been training a long time, and you know, you've made lots of great gains in the past. Do not think that you're going to go on a 20-rep breathing squat program, and 30 days from now you're going to be 20 or 30 or 40 pounds heavier or whatever. It doesn't work that way. And that's part of the mythology of the program. And I think of it as primarily for young, skinny, beginner, real good program then. For other people who've been doing it for a while, I much prefer things like, for example, I keep going back to it, the 5x5.
And the 20 rep breathing squat program actually is more for conditioning than it is for strength, in my humble opinion. And I stand to be corrected. But when you're talking about breathing 5 times, letting that weight bear down, I mean, I've done it. And going down and then pushing back out. And we're talking about mental toughness, developing mental toughness, developing mental acuity, and focus. But more importantly than anything else, developing a type of cardiovascular conditioning that is akin to heavy farmer's walks for miles. I mean, you're talking about taxing the cardiovascular system, not so much the neuromuscular system. And people going, Carl, what are you talking about? You're squatting. I know you're squatting, but you're not squatting the same weight that you would do. You're not going to take the weight that you'd squat in a 5x5 and do 20 reps breathing squats with it. Maybe you're using 30% of that weight.
Yeah, that's very true. And you know, none of this is to say the 20 rep breathing squat program is a bad program.
No, it has its place, but it's more for conditioning, in my opinion, than building all out raw, powerful torque. Boom.
Yeah, and you know, and another thing you need to factor in here is on the programs that we're talking about, it's really important to use perfect form and to control the weights. You know, I keep saying that. Control, form, technique, do everything perfectly. That's really, really hard to do with a 20-rep breathing squat program because you get so winded. And it's so painful, and it's just so hard to finish those 20 reps that often form breaks down.
Yep.
And, you know, don't want that happening on this program. I absolutely don't want a situation where you're doing the 20-rep breathing squat program, and somewhere around rep number 15 or 16, you start rounding your back because you're so tired. And so you finish by doing a couple of poor form, rounded back, dangerous to low back squats. And then later in the same workout or in the next workout, you're going to do deadlifts. Okay? Don't want that to happen because you're setting up an injury in the deadlift because you were doing the squats with sloppy form. Which is one reason, by the way, if you think about it, the traditional 20-rep breathing squat program either does not have heavy deadlifts, has stiff-legged deadlifts instead, with a lightweight, or does not have any kind of deadlift at all in the traditional 20-rep program. And that's why, because it's so easy to hurt your back if you're not careful, and it's so difficult to be careful if you're doing those killer 20 reps.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of things
okay.
to think about here.
Let's move to this next question here.
Sure.
And this one we've gotten a lot, and we've even had guys who are saying, look, I'm 70 years old, BS, show me the science.
Yep.
There's no way I can build this kind of muscle. So I'm 50 or whatever, fill in the number here. Can I really gain 20 pounds of muscle?
Okay, and we answered this last week, but, you know, we're still getting questions, and we're getting some fairly argumentative questions.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, you know, here's the deal. If you are 50 or 60 or 65 or 70 or whatever, you may not gain 20 pounds of muscle. And again, particularly if you've already, over the course of your life, gained 40 or 50 or 60 pounds of muscle, or 100 pounds of muscle. I mean, there comes a time when you're just not going to pack on much more muscle because you've already done it.
Yeah, you've reached your genetic limits, let's say.
Yeah, okay. And as you get older, it's harder to put on muscle. Okay, understand. But the point is, instead of sending us emails and arguing about whether it's possible or not, or instead of asking yourself the question and kicking it around and never starting to train, if you're 40, if you're 50, if you're 60, if you're whatever age, train. Train intelligently, train smart, train progressively, and you will absolutely improve your physical condition, your strength, your overall appearance, your health, and you will add muscle mass.
Yeah, now if it's only 7 pounds, it's still 7 pounds.
Yeah, if it's only 3 pounds, it's 3 pounds of life-enhancing, life-promoting, life-lengthening muscle. And, you know, as an older trainee, that's the important thing. It's quality muscle to add to the quality of your life. And if it's 3 pounds or 5 or 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever, the metabolic impact of that muscle is incredible. So don't worry about 20 pounds or whatever. It's all numbers.
And this actually goes into the next question, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to take drugs to gain that much muscle? Okay, I want to speak to this as a 55-year-old hormonally corrected individual.
Okay.
I'm carrying, I mean, right now I'm 238 pounds. I've gotten very lean because I'm experimenting with some things right now, but I'm 238 pounds and I've got a lot of muscle on my carcass. Could I have done this had I not been on testosterone therapy? Absolutely not. I couldn't carry the amount of muscle I carry. I would have to be more realistic and say, well, you know what? I'd have to carry less muscle. So before we answer the question about drugs in general, to those of your older trainees, why aren't you talking to yourself and thinking and talking to your doctor about hormone replacement therapy? 67 years old, why not? You need to do some research because hormones are metabolic messengers. They tell your body it's old and dying when there's not enough of them, or they tell your body you're young and still growing, so provide recovery. Now, let's talk about drugs in general. Do you think that you need to take drugs if you're a 25, 35, 45-year-old person who's in good condition to try to add this kind of muscle?
Is that the question?
Yeah, I'm asking
from the
you.
Reader?
Well, it's do you need to take drugs to gain that much muscle?
Absolutely not. And again, look at the history. You know, the history says we have one documented success story after another. Read the old magazines, the letters to the editor, the success stories. This was happening all the time. Back in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. Okay. Were there drugs back then? No. So how were these guys doing it? Answer, they were doing it with basic, simple nutrition, and they were doing it with hard training, the kind of training that we're talking about. And they built 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 pounds of muscle, some more. Some men without drugs have gained 80 to 100 pounds of muscle. It can be done. And anyone who says that it can't is just flat out wrong. Now, as you get older, you know, Carl was talking to hormonal issues, and those are for every person and his or her physician to talk about, have a conversation about, and make your own decisions. I will note that if you're in master's competition in powerlifting, weightlifting, bodybuilding, I assume, although I really don't know anything about competitive bodybuilding as it is in the modern world, I focus on lifting. But depending on your organization, where you compete, there may be drug testing, there may be prohibitions on drug use, and those are things that you need to consider. If you are competing in master's weightlifting in the United States, I don't think you're going to be able to use any kind of hormonal therapy and still compete as an athlete. If you're in that situation, then you need to talk to your meet director, talk to USA Weightlifting, and look at the rule book and make a decision about what you do. So for people who are in a competitive situation that may be a drug-tested situation, you need to follow the rules of whatever organization you're competing in. But to that, you know, to that point, I'll note this. You can do a tremendous amount for your body at any age, and you can build remarkable levels of strength and remarkable muscular development, whatever you end up weighing, without drugs. And people have done it repeatedly, and people can do it. And one reason is that when you follow the physical culture lifestyle, when you're eating right, when you're getting sleep, when you're getting rest, when you're doing the right things to reduce or eliminate stress from your life, and when you've got that, the metabolic effect of the strength training and the muscle building that we're talking about, you're doing everything you can to keep your hormonal system running at a really high level. So, you know, there are different ways to get to similar results or the same result. And do not think that automatically you need to take anything if you choose not to do so.
Yeah. We have to take a commercial break. We have 5 more questions to go. When we come back, the next question is one that I knew was coming. Can I include arm work in the basic program? We're talking with Brooks Kubik. This is part 4 of How to Build Muscle the Dinosaur Way. Add 20 pounds in 6 months following this protocol. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Don't forget, visit BrooksKubik, KUBIK.com daily, every day. We'll be right back.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian M. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail, 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail, 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. I'm a guy who doesn't really do any direct arm work. Is that a mistake, you think? Somebody wants to know, can I include arm work in the basic program? But you have curls and in this program, as I recall.
In one of the workouts we do, and we have close grip bench presses.
Right.
You know, so we've got some arm work there. In all of the workouts, though, you're going to be doing upper body pushing exercises, which would be presses and either bench presses or incline presses. They work the triceps. You're also going to be doing pulling exercises, upper body pulling exercises, which would be bent over rowing, pull downs, or pull ups. All of those work the arms very heavily. And you know, you can build really big, really strong arms by doing nothing but your upper body pulling movements and your upper body pushing movements. If you want to add some what we call direct arm work, barbell curls, dumbbell curls, that's fine. Is it necessary? No. Should it become the focus of your workout? No. And that's the problem. It's easier to say, don't do them, include them in another program. Because as soon as you say to somebody, yeah, you can do some curls, the some curls becomes 20 sets of curls, and then it becomes 40 sets of curls, and then it becomes my whole workout is nothing but curls. And you know, and it's like, oh, come on. Don't do that. So many guys do that. It's such a mistake. So, yes, if you need to include some arm work, you can include it, but do you need to? Not really. The other thing I'll note is if you're including arm work, do it after you've done everything else. Don't start out, because then what you do is you put all your energy into the arm work. Do it at the end. It's icing on the cake.
Yeah. Okay. This is really a repeat. I don't even know if I want to read this. The program seems too easy. Will it really work? We've addressed that already.
Yeah. It seems too easy because you're in the break-in period. As you work forward, as it gets harder, as the weights get heavier, it will become the toughest program you have ever done in your life.
And the next question I'm going to forego also, because this person is asking about nutrition, and we're going to get into that deeply in one single episode dedicated to this.
So we'll save that one for next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Or next whenever.
Where can I get weightlifting shoes? Do they really help? What are your thoughts on that, Brooks?
Weightlifting shoes absolutely help, and particularly for an older trainee, they really help with arch and ankle support. And they're good not only for weightlifting, not only for Olympic weightlifting, but they keep you in the right position for doing squats, particularly if you're doing front squats or full squats, back squats where you go all the way down, ATG as we say, although it should be AT platform.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. And they also put you in a good position for doing deadlifts in a way that maximizes the involvement of the thighs, the hips, and the back, and actually takes some of the stress off of the lower back. So I like them for all-around training. Now, I buy what are actually competitive model Olympic weightlifting shoes. I get them from Dynamic Eleiko. That's Dynamic-Eleiko, a company run by Bud Charniga and Todd Lyons. And they've been selling this stuff for like 30 or 40 years. Very reputable company. I really like doing business with them. And they've got two models of shoes. Go for the Power Perfect 2 weightlifting shoe. That's what I use. Runs $119 a pair. I know that's expensive, but guess what? You only use them when you're training, and when you're training, you are in your most important place in the entire world, and every minute counts. Make the most of it. And I'll note that the more expensive shoe, the Eddie Power weightlifting shoe, only comes in red, and I can't bring myself to buy a pair of all red shoes.
That's funny.
Little fashion hint there.
Okay. What kind of weights should I be aiming for in the different exercises? I guess he's asking about how much weight should he be using. That's a hard one to answer. It's individual, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's an individual question because it depends how strong you are right now. And that depends on how long have you been training and what kind of training have you been doing and et cetera. You don't start out with super heavy weights. You start out with weights that are manageable, and you gradually, over time, progressively build up. That's the whole break-in period and the whole progression theory that we've been talking about. But as far as what kind of weights should you be aiming for, well, you know, ultimately, if you're training for, true strength training, strength and power training, you're going to hit the point where you're doing 50 to 100 pounds over your body weight for sets of five in the squat. You're going to hit the point where you're doing exactly the same or more in the deadlift. And I'm not talking about partial squats where you cut the depth short. I'm not talking about, you know, the drop and bounce stuff where you look like you're trying to imitate parachuter jumps or something. I'm talking about strict form, perfect rep on every rep. And on the deadlift, I'm not talking about doing the deadlift and then dropping real fast and bouncing the bar off the platform and, you know, so you do one rep and then you do four bounce reps. I'm talking about good, strict, perfect form on every rep. So you're going to work up to body weight plus 50 to 100 pounds for five reps. That's your minimum goal. Now, someone may say, Brooks, that doesn't take into account percentage of body weight. Well, I'm basing that on what I would call an average body weight of 170 to 190, 200 pounds for a man, obviously less for a woman. But those are ballpark numbers, and you can kind of do the math and round up. But I'm just trying to give you a ballpark about what is a realistic goal to really start to get to the point where you're showing some good, thick, obviously this person trains and trains serious level of development. As far as presses go, I'm talking about standing presses. One of the hallmarks of true strength is to be able to press your own body weight for one rep in perfect form. That's a standing military press. So, on that theory, you should be doing perhaps 70 to 80% of your body weight for five perfect reps in the standing military press. Bench press, everybody who's really serious about training ought to get to the point where they can do their own body weight plus 50 pounds minimum in the bench press for five reps. And again, I'm talking about reps done in good form. Down to the chest, back up. Down to the chest, back up. None of this bounce the bar off the chest stuff. That's not training. That's just fooling around. That's doing the exercise in an improper form in order to mimic doing it in the correct form.
Mm-hmm.
Pull-ups, if you're doing pull-ups, try to work up to 40 or 50 pounds around your waist for pull-ups performed in good, strict form. And again, no dropping and bouncing. Pull up, pause, down, pause, up, pause, down, pause. Okay. If you can do five reps with 40 pounds around your waist, five reps with 50 pounds around your waist, then, you know, that's really impressive, and that's going to be a good, impressive level of development. And you know, you will look pretty impressive if that's the kind of weight that you're pulling.
Mm-hmm.
Barbell bent over row. If you can work up to close to body weight, maybe a little bit over body weight, for five reps in good form, that's pretty impressive. And again, good form is, you know, not a lot of heave. You don't make it look like a bent over power clean or something that looks like a combination deadlift, bent over shrug, you know, Texas bunkhouse stampede pro wrestling match. You know, there's got to be control. But one quick point, and I think you mentioned this in another show, when you do the rowing, keep the bar close to the body. It goes right up the thighs and into the lower abdominal or hip area.
Right.
It does not come out to your chest area. That was started back in the 20s or 30s as supposedly the correct way of performing the exercise, and it's just absolutely wrong. So talking about bent over rowing, where it's a controlled movement into the lower, the lower waist, really almost the hip joint, and you can go pretty heavy in that, but again, build up to it slowly.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think that's our last question, believe it or not. Now obviously we're going to cover, and I know we're probably going to get more questions as a result of this today, but we're going to cover nutrition. So those of you out there who have nutritional questions that were not covered today, but you sent them in, we will cover nutritional questions later. And I must say that nutrition plays a very, very large role in all of this. You cannot make gains, no matter what you do in the gym, if you're not eating enough of the right foods. And so the old saying, 20% of what you do in the gym and 80% of what you do outside the gym will be covered when we do the nutrition. Are there any other questions that you may have received while we were on the air that we need to address, or is that it?
Well, the one thing we probably ought to close out by talking about, and I'm assuming you don't have another guest on, because if you have, we've really eaten into his or her.
Yeah,
time.
No, it was just us today, and I did that on purpose because I felt like I knew this was going to go long. So
yeah, well, one of the questions that I've been getting a lot of is from older trainees, mostly in their 50s and 60s. And they want to do this kind of program, but they are banged up with a previous injury.
Right.
You know, they've got a bad shoulder, a bad knee, bad lower back, bad hip, whatever. And so they're asking questions about what can I do? You know, I've got, let's say a bad shoulder, and I can't bench press anymore, or I can't do presses anymore. Okay. What do I do? And the answer, and this is addressing the older training. You know, the answer is, if there is a particular exercise that causes what I'm going to refer to as an orthopedic pain, and by that I mean, you're doing the exercise and you know that this is just not the right thing for your body to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl, that sounds really general, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think anybody who trains understands the difference between the feel of muscular exertion and your muscles are working hard. And maybe when you're done, they feel worked, and maybe the next day they feel sore. There's a difference between that and this kind of deep-rooted pain in the shoulder or the knee or the hip or
right,
whatever, that's the joint problem. Okay. If something is causing joint irritation, you're not going to work through it, and you're not going to make it better by continuing to do the exercise. You're not even going to make it better by doing a lighter, a lighter weight, less weight on the bar, or changing the rep speed, either going faster or going slower. None of that really matters if something is fundamentally irritating your joint. And what you need to do in that case is do a workaround. You need to find something that you can do either on a temporary basis or perhaps on a permanent basis. And you need to make the necessary adjustment, and you need to go forward and just not worry about whether or not this is the best exercise in the world or the right exercise or I wish I could do such and so. If you can't do it, then do the workaround. You've got to do that. If you try to push through and you try to do something that's hurting you, it's just going to keep hurting you. And eventually you'll wake up one day and you won't be able to walk because your knee's too sore. You won't be able to comb your hair because your shoulder's too sore. You don't want to get in that position. You want to train sensibly.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. I've had to do workarounds. You know, Carl, I think you've had to do them. I think I'm always doing them.
I was doing heavy dumbbell pullovers not too long ago, and I developed some tendonitis in the left tricep where it inserts at the elbow. So I had to train chest and shoulders differently for a few weeks until it went away. So you're always doing some sort of a workaround.
Yeah, you know, and again, that goes to, you know your body, train smart, train sensibly. Related point that I get a lot, and I've actually got a number of questions that had this kind of in as sort of a backstory, is the non-training injury. You know, someone who does something, they it's usually a weekend. You know, you go out on the weekend and you do something unusual. Like I went with the family and we did a canoeing trip, and so I was canoeing all day. Or, you know, I spent all day with the grandkids and we were walking around, and, you know, I was carrying a grandkid all day through the zoo, and you know, then we went to wherever and had a family dinner, and the next day, you know, my arm and shoulder were just, you know, so sore I couldn't believe it. And a lot of older trainees actually hurt themselves outside of the gym. And usually it's a case of just doing something that, you know, over the course of a day, you don't realize it, but the total load or the total tonnage that you put on your body or the total number of reps is just excessive. Typically in something that you haven't trained or conditioned yourself to do. You know, like, for example, carrying a grandchild around all day while you're at the zoo or whatever. And so, as an older trainee, you want to watch those types of things. You want to live a normal, productive, wonderful, fun-filled life. But you want to be careful doing things that mess up your training. Simple example, I got an email a year or two ago from someone who I believe is a listener of this show and someone who reads my books. And this was someone who wanted the kids to be doing some martial arts training,
mm-hmm.
and specifically some Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and got him into that. And, you know, that's a great thing to be doing. All for that. A lot of good things to be doing. And was also working with the kids at home on a, you know, very simple, basic strength training program. I'm talking about really basic, youth-appropriate, youth-oriented. So, you know, that's fine, too. Good stuff. And the daughter's working out with dad, and the son's working out with dad, and dad's training them, and this is all really good stuff. And dad's question was, you know, I'm 47 and I'm doing some of the Brazilian jiu-jitsu stuff, and you know, obviously I'm a big beginner, but it's fun. But I'm starting to have a sore shoulder. You know, I think it's from the BJJ work.
Mm-hmm.
And should I keep doing that? Because, you know, I want the kids to have a good role model, but I also want to do some strength training with them. And is there a risk that I might hurt myself in the jiu-jitsu training and not be able to work with the kids as they move into their teens, when it's really important for them to have a good training program at home and I really want to be training them at home? And, you know, my answer was, well, if you're not an expert at jiu-jitsu, but you have them enrolled in a really good program with someone who is an expert, you're doing the right thing by letting the expert train them. You don't need to do that. You don't even need to be the role model. You can if you want to, but you don't need to be. Your most important job as their father is to be there as they move into their teens when the strength training becomes really important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your expertise. And you're probably not going to find anyone who can do as good a job training your kids as you can do. and you probably won't find as good a place for them to train as at your house, with you there as their coach. So why don't you focus on that, and if that means that rolling around on a mat maybe is not the right thing to do, then don't do it. And, you know, we're probably going to get hate mail now from, you know, everybody who rolls around on a mat and loves it. and that's, you know, I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying don't do Brazilian jiu-jitsu or judo or anything else if that's your passion and that's what you want to do. I'm merely using that as an example of picking and choosing. And if the strength training is the most important thing in your life, focus on the strength training. And again, I'm talking to the older trainees. If there are things that you're doing that aren't going to work very well with the strength training, and the strength training is your primary thing, then you have to make choices.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Carl, you're my age. What do you think about that?
I think that you do have to make your, you got to pick your fights. You got to apply. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't apply yourself to different things throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you need to be focused on what is your priority at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
that's,
if you're looking to build strength so that you can incorporate it into some other sport, then in your off season you should be focusing on building strength. And as you near on season for whatever your sport is, then you start to use that new strength and mold it into more tactical applications as you practice your sport. But I think you gotta kind of pick your fights, unless you're a professional athlete. And then this changes. If you're a professional athlete, you're getting paid to do a sport. And you can train for 8 to 10 hours a day. Heck, you could do 2 a days. You could train 8 hours in the morning and eat, go back to the gym later on in the evening, because you don't have a life. You're a professional athlete. That's your life. Then it's a different story. But if you're a guy like us and you've got a life and you've got kids and you've got family and you've got work and you've got this and that, and you have to fit your training in to the day, I think you gotta be, I think you gotta pick your fights. You gotta focus on what it is that you want to make the greatest amount of progress right now, and that can change from time to time.
Yeah, that's very true. And I like that, pick your fights or pick your battles.
Yeah. Okay, so we've come to the end of the show. It's a great show. Hopefully we've answered a lot of questions out there that people, have had on their mind, or even taken the time to email into us. And thank you to those of you who have emailed us. You can email questions to onair@superhumanradio.com, or you can send them to Brooks through his mail list. If you're on the dinosaur training mail list, you can go to BrooksKubik to get on that mail list .com. And next show, hopefully, will be on nutrition, unless some other questions creep up on us that we have to address before.
How does that sound, Brooks? Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening. Thanks to Brooks Kubik for putting all this together, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Carl.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.